The proportion of the manufacturing industry in the economy of the Czech Republic is the biggest among all EU countries, and within that, the auto sector is by far and away the most important, accounting for around a third of all industrial production, with the figure showing no sign of falling. But the sector is very much at a crossroads, with immediate and longer-term challenges putting a question mark over continued growth. Zdeněk Petzl is acting director of the Czech Automobile Industry Association. Chris Johnstone asked him how the first half of the year appears so far.
The first half of the year looks very promising. We have got an increase in production over 5%, which means in total numbers almost 800,000 of vehicles, speaking about all the types, not only passenger cars, but obviously buses, trucks, and the trailers as well. And from the numbers we can see now, it seems that this trend will continue for the rest of the year at least. Even though some analysts spoke bleakly about this year, it seems that production is still rising and we are reaching the pre-crisis limits we had back in 2009.
Mm-hmm. And this is true for the whole sector, personal cars, buses, trucks, everything? Or is there some more room for growth in certain areas?
The growth in each area is based on the actual site, the actual platform. Obviously, knowing that in trucks, we have only one company, the Tatra, their growth is massive. Obviously, their growth is almost 50% year to year. If that happened in person, in personal cars, that would obviously be great. That would mean huge numbers, but that is not possible. So the total growth is around 5%, and obviously the passenger cars are almost next to that level.
That brings the question to how near the Czech auto sector is working at near full capacity.
Speaking about capacity, I think it's important to look at what passengers actually demand these days. I'm not saying anything new. It's the large SUVs. Why it's obviously clear, we are in the period of positive economic growth, and this obviously spurs the demand for vehicles as SUVs. When you look at the production in our factories, both Skoda and Hyundai do offer these vehicles, so this is why Hyundai is running at their capacity limit and why Skoda is growing annually. Regarding the possible extra production, I think we will see the rise year by year, but obviously it's not possible to expect any major rise in double digits or anything like that.
So what are the breaks at the moment? I mean, presumably one of the breaks for all the major companies in the Czech Republic is probably difficulty of getting a skilled labour force or skilled workers. I mean, is there room for more automation across the board to meet that problem?
You're right. The demand for skilled workers, or for any workers for that matter, is pretty high. And from what we have learned, our companies have to turn down some of the requests by the OEMs and other suppliers, which means that, you know, we are ruining the possibility of growth of these companies and obviously of the growth of the whole economy of the Czech Republic. Regarding the automation, the automotive industry is at the forefront of the automation, and almost all of the companies are implementing those measures. Obviously, from economical point of view, these measures, again, have to be spread into years. So the rise of the automation is taken on year by year, but the demand for skilled workers will be there for years to come. That is not a thing that can be solved from one year to another by simply putting on more robots into production.
Where will you get these workers? The Czech Republic, other countries, neighboring countries, Ukraine, where are they going to come from?
That's a hard question. I think the answer is not Ukraine or these countries. This is something, a short-term measure that can only solve a small part of our problem. Our problem lies in the education system. I think we have done quite a good job at dismantling the technical education during the last 20 years, where it was sort of a shun word when you say you are educating technically yourself or studying a technical subject. And what we need to work on is motivating young people, not only from the Czech Republic, but also from other countries, to actually perceive Czech Republic as an interesting place for studying. So this is the direction where our industry is thinking, and we are trying to come up with initiatives to actually support this kind of transition.
There has been quite a lot of talk over recent months, years even, about adopting more of the German type of training, where people learn in education and learn in the workplace. But from what I've heard recently, there seems to be maybe more talk and not so much action, maybe some reluctance actually to adopt a German model because it's German, which is maybe slightly unfortunate. I mean, have you any comments about that?
We have to look at the models that are around us. The Germans have this model perfected over the decades. We see, for example, that Slovakia overtook parts of that model. And I think it is of utmost importance that Czech Republic come up with the best of these models that are around us, from the best from what we see that actually works and implemented. We are trying to push towards this change, but honestly, it is taking quite a long time, more than we would love to. So this is something we are not very happy about, and we would like to push more in the coming years.
You have a forum for cooperation with neighbouring countries, the V4 countries, Slovakia, Poland, Hungary. What can you actually do with those countries? I mean, they're Slovakia, you mentioned the auto industry is even more important there maybe than it is here per capita, and it's important in the other countries. How can this cooperation help in some way?
I think it's very important, especially regarding the European level. Obviously, most of the V4 countries are relatively small, not speaking about Poland, obviously. But then again, I think that in Brussels, still the V4 countries are perceived as something new. So I feel that it is very important to cooperate, to discuss, because we come from the same background. We have similar issues. And if we speak with one voice, especially in Brussels, I think we can actually achieve changes we need.
Are there any specific issues that you're trying to push a regional point of view in Brussels at the moment?
We are trying to bring sense to discussions on technical harmonization, on emissions, and all these things that are dramatically changing our area of economics.
Presumably you feel maybe that some of the proposals for emissions are too strict. I mean, there's been the whole scandal of Volkswagen and other companies, presumably because they thought the emissions were too strict, too expensive, whatever.
It is a fact that the development these days is not governed anymore by the technical development itself, but by legislative decisions. It is of utmost importance that these decisions are taken with regard to what is achievable on the technical side and what is acceptable on the customer side. We have been an active player in the development of these regulations, and we said we are going to adhere to them and fulfill them by all means. But if the government decides to put such a dramatic change in motion, then obviously there also needs to be another step. How do we actually promote the change, meaning the acceptance of electric vehicles, etc., among the people? Obviously, if you see a rise of a new technology, in the beginning it is relatively expensive, and then with the mass production it comes down. So we need a sort of push, a first push to get these things going, to get them accepted by the customers, and to get them more, to get it more to the market, really.
So. Sure. I mean, coming to electric cars, self-drive cars, I mean, these are the big challenges. And actually, I think today in Britain there's supposed to be an announcement that traditional cars driven on petrol and diesel will be banned from 2040. That's already happened in France. You have no choice, but how much does this represent a challenge to your industry? Because that model of motor, that model of development has been what's been in place for almost 100 years. It's a big change, isn't it?
Honestly, I think these suggestions not only pose, for example, threat to the industry, but I think they pose a threat to Europe as well, as general. Because obviously in Europe we have a general market, and you cannot have country-by-country specific rules and measures. For example, one city banning Euro 5 diesel, the other one Euro 6, the other one something else. One country banning diesel cars from 2030, one country banning all combustion engines from 2040. That will obviously break up the internal market. So I feel what we need to do right now is to have common debate on European level to how to actually tackle this problem. The automotive industry actually will adhere to whatever is decided. We have always done that. And we are ready to put our money and our engineers to work towards this goal. But such a decision has to be taken on a general platform, not just case-by-case basis.
Narrowing it down a bit, how much is this a threat to the Czech Republic? Obviously, it's probably fair to say that the Czech Republic hasn't been in the lead as regards electric cars. That's probably fair to say. But overall, these big changes mean that the technologies and know-how that's been developed here won't be applicable so much in the future, and new plants and maybe can grow elsewhere.
I mean, you're absolutely right. There has to be something done about this, because these changes are changing the whole industry as it is. This is why we actually started work on a memorandum with the Czech government. The memorandum should bring a mutual understanding to what the changes are and what needs to be done in order to tackle those changes. Obviously, our companies will have to orientate much more on the electronics and IT production, and they basically are. Even in these days, for example, look at the company Brisk. They've been known for the world-famous spark plugs, but they are not only producing spark plugs these days, they are also producing the sensors and coming up with solutions for general services based on the use of these sensors. So I think our industry is understanding the changes and is adapting itself and what needs to be done in order to trickle those changes into the rest of the Czech economics, and sort of every company that is part of our industry is promote more the research and development and talk more about what these changes actually mean. This is what we are trying to do and trying to achieve within the memorandum.
That memorandum, you are hoping it will be signed in September, apparently?
We hope to have it signed with the current government so that the incoming government then will have something actually to build on, because, as you said, there isn't time to lose. If we lose the time, we may lose also a significant part of the industry.
Okay. I mean, coming to that, maybe the last point, some people might say, well, logically, in the long term, Škoda Auto produces a third of Škoda Auto's cars actually sold in China. In the long term, maybe China will be producing more of its own cars, and maybe some of the components and other parts industry will go to cheaper countries like Moldova or other places. How much is that a possible scenario?
I don't see it happening in the coming years, really. I think the Czech Republic and the V4 countries in general have a great thing in their sleeve, and that's their location. Considering that there are basically no warehouses or storage areas these days, and everything is sort of stored within the trucks and trains and planes that are being on the move on a daily basis, I think it is important to be close to your customers, and obviously having international borders in the way where you do not know whether the truck will pass within 1 hour, 5 hours, or one day, that might lead to the stoppages in production, and that would lead into great losses on the part of OEMs or the suppliers. So I think based on this, we feel pretty much confident that for the coming years, the production from the Czech Republic would not move to elsewhere.